Confidence in leadership in a post-pandemic world.
Oh,
11:30 in conference room A.
Hey, the podcast already.
Shit. I'm Javi Luna, husband, father, and oh yeah, stand-up comedian. I've been fortunate enough to spend over a decade traveling the country, making audiences laugh. But my favorite audience is the one right here at home in Corpus Christi, Texas. My wife and co-host, Jen. Once a week, we sit down and have a chat. There's other podcasts like this, but this one's mine. And that makes it original.
Cookies, Corpus Christi originals.
Yeah.
Fanta Crew.
Go ahead. Get it, girl. Get it, girl. Get the mic check going. We had to do it because, you know, we had a little audio problems. You couldn't hear the gordito. They got the sweets, but not the gordito.
Oh, no.
Last week. I mean, you could hear me, but it sounded like I was far away. Welcome out to the original gordito podcast, the baddest podcast in the land, homie. Woo. You know what it is, episode 149.
Nice.
We're closing in on our sesquicentennial.
Wow, what a word.
Yeah. You know that word? You know, remember, this is an educational podcast, people. Sesquicentennial.
I forgot it was educational.
150th podcast.
Woo. Episode. So are we going to do something special? Yeah.
The only reason I know that word is because I was part of the sesquicentennial class for St. Mary's University.
Oh, okay.
Founded in 1852, year of our Lord, and okay. I was the class of 2002, in entering class of 2002.
Very nice. So
that's how I learned.
Say it again.
That word, sesquicentennial.
Sesquicentennial.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, learn something new every day.
There you go. Yeah. educational moment. Original Gordito podcast. The more you know. Whatever it was. I used to like the more you know.
I did too.
But you know what? I can't remember none of them. I remember, do you remember any of the lessons, the more you know? Everyone always remembers the little star or whatever, but do you ever remember? Like, you know,
I feel like it was very fleeting
knowledge.
Oh, but that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Here I thought my whole life.
I remember the G.I. Joe ones, you know, but like not you know, a fire, you know, gotta get out of the house on the fire.
Oh, really?
Because knowing is half the battle.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
You know, the G.I. Joe ones. Those are important lessons.
Yeah, I don't remember those either.
No. I was like, cartoons don't have that anymore. The little lesson at the end of the show. Even Pee Wee Herman used to have like a lesson at the end, I feel like.
Right.
Like now you're just supposed to find it. Like, where's Bluey's lesson? Does Bluey talk to you at the end? Blue's Clues used to talk to
Blue's
you.
Blue's Clues. I like Blue's Clues.
Right? Blue's Clues used to tell you, just come out. Just tell me what I'm supposed to take from this this thing that I just watched. All right? How you doing, Mrs. Luna?
I'm doing well.
Good. Let's get some energy going here. You're doing well, and what's going on with you?
I am preparing for a trip.
Okay,
I'm going on my first admin work trip.
Oh, yeah?
So I'm excited.
Conference time.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great, man. Where are you going?
I'm going to Austin.
For
like half a second, I kept thinking like San Antonio.
Party capital of fucking Texas.
Oh, yeah, it is.
You're going to hit up 6th Street or what? Were you and the teachers? Or you going to do some dueling pianos? You going to go out? You going to get a little wild?
Babe, I'm
get
so
a,
old.
Get a couple hard seltzers in you? What's what's on the agenda?
I'm so old.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't think I'm doing any of that.
No?
We'll see.
You'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly you can go out to maybe a little, some Fuddruckers or something.
Fuddruckers? So,
I don't know what
I'm going to try to eat something.
I'm asking the questions here because I don't know what you normal people with normal jobs do on a work conference. But, I mean, it's been a decade since I've gone anywhere on a, on a quote-unquote work trip. Mm-hmm. I mean, I go on work trips.
I was going to say, you go on them every month.
My work trips are how dare I say, a little different than most people's work trips. The you fucking squares, man.
Wow, now I'm a square.
Saying, no, I'm just saying, just normies. I like that, as I like to.
I like that.
I call y'all the normies.
I don't know. I haven't been on a work trip in so long. I don't even know what to expect. Yeah. Like, it feels weird.
Yeah.
Like, you go room with people and stuff. Like, that's weird to me. I haven't done that since.
You get to go sit in panels.
Mm-hmm.
Panel, whatever the fuck, a panel. It's just a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Talking.
Yeah.
You get to hear a couple keynote speakers.
Yes, sir. Yes.
I want to be a keynote speaker.
Someday. What would be your speech?
I don't know. That's what I am. That's exactly where I was, the rabbit hole I was headed down.
Okay.
What would my keynote address be? Man. If you had to give I guess it's easier, your expertise. If you had to give a talk at a conference, what do you see yourself talking about?
I would talk about confidence in yourself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
As applied to, but you would have to apply it to education somehow.
Exactly. Yeah.
What would be the connection there?
Well, mine would have to be, since I'm in a leadership role, like your confidence in your ability to lead.
All right. Confidence and leadership in the 21st century. I can name some motherfucking shit. That's how you name some. That's how you, if you just add like the in the 21st century, like in you know, or in today's society.
Yes.
You know, or in the tech age or whatever. You just add whatever it is.
That little
some keywords.
I like it.
Yeah, confidence and leadership in the 21st century is
that's my speech.
Right. Oh no, I got it better. Okay. Confidence and leadership in a post-pandemic world.
Oh.
Huh? 11:30 in conference room A. Right?
Hell yeah.
Right? So what would mine be? I don't know. I would like to say responsible edible consumption.
That's what you'd like to say.
Yeah, for entry-level comedians. Okay. You know, or something like that. I wish comedy... We have festivals, right?
Yes.
Comedians. I guess that would be the closest thing we have to a conference, right? Mm-hmm. But some festivals do have like
workshops
mm-hmm. that a lot of festivals have started to incorporate that into. But there's like kind of this like there's this tendency in comedy comedians, we kind of balk at the idea of somebody teaching our craft or the idea of that you could somehow teach comedy,
mm-hmm.
which isn't. It's not wrong, but it's not right. Like I don't think that you can teach somebody to be funny. I think you can help someone cultivate and develop their natural sense of humor.
Sure.
And how to present. I think you can teach someone how to properly present their sense of humor. But you know, mm-hmm. I don't think you can't make somebody funny. Like
no.
They have to naturally be funny. You know, and you could just help them. You know. Get the tools that they need to do that. So I think that's why a lot of comics still kind of like turn up their nose or kind of turn down. So maybe that's why we don't have comedy conferences.
No, maybe.
Right. But I think it would be hilarious though, to get a bunch of comics together and make them go to different workshops and panels all day. And,
hell yeah.
And you know, have a keynote address.
Who would be y'all's keynote? For your first comedy conference.
I guess, you know what, the Just for Laughs has a keynote speaker. Patton Oswalt famously gave when I first started, he gave the 2011 mm-hmm. keynote address at the Just for Laughs, which is the biggest comedy festival, you know, that most people know about, which is in Canada. And he gave his keynote as an open letter to both the industry and to comics.
Oh.
And... badly to say, you know, I that came out 2011 was the year that I started comedy.
Really?
So one thing. So I definitely read it that when it came out, and I remember reading it, and I remember a lot of people, you know, Patton's got tremendous respect in the comedy industry. He's definitely a comics comic.
Definitely.
Comics look up to him. We hold on to his word. But the, and you can look it up. Just look up to Patton Oswalt, Just for Laughs keynote. If you can't find the actual video of it, you can definitely find the transcription of it. But the gist of it was this: he was basically an open letter to comedy industry and to comics, letting them know that basically we don't need the industry anymore. To paraphrase one part of it, he said is, you know, to the previous generations of comics, we were dependent on Hollywood to tell us when we were relevant and when we were valid as comedians. Mm. And it was about being given something. You were given a spot. You were given a special. You were given this. Mm-hmm. And he talked about in the tech age with the renaissance of the internet, and he was just back then just talking about YouTube,
right,
and Facebook, really now pre TikTok and Vine and all that. But he was saying, you know, the day's going to come where we don't need you anymore. The next big stars aren't going to come from a television show or from a Comedy Central, you know, special, or from any a late night set, anything like that. They're gonna come from their own grit, their own doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was his message to the industry, and his message were to comics is, now your responsibility is, what are you gonna do with that?
Wow.
You know, you have no one to blame now, other than yourself. You have the tool. You have a television studio in your pant pocket right now, vis-a-vis a cell phone.
Yeah.
Right, the podcasting world was just really starting to flourish at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody and their mother, you know, now it's to a point of oversaturation, right? But still, the idea is the same. If you're not doing the little things,
right?
If you're not doing the podcast, if you're not making the content,
the posts, yeah.
If you're not doing the posts, then you really have no one to blame but yourself, because it's not the ball is not completely in their court. While you can still play in that world, and yes, it's still great to get an HBO special or a Netflix special, you don't need that
right
anymore, right? Which is why I kind of went, you know, the route that I went with the special. Could I have shopped it around and tried to get it on a bigger platform? Yeah, it would have ate up more time.
Mm-hmm.
I was ready to just get it out there,
yeah,
and see what it does. And also, the fear, there was no fear for me, because I had another hour completely separate from that, and now I have a completely hour after that. So there's no shortage of material for me.
You already have an additional hour than the other hour you had in
your
pocket.
I'm coming up since the special was recorded almost a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm coming up on close to an hour of completely new material since
then.
Yeah. So I'm hoping, you know, with these next, you know, 6 months of dates, you know, probably I'm looking spring, summer of 2024 to be ready to record it in some capacity. I don't know what that next special is going to look like.
Right.
If it's just going to be something I'm going to put out on YouTube again. But you know, like I said, on the special, if you watch the whole thing, you know, I'm not looking to stand in anyone's line
right
anymore. I'm in my own line, you know,
right,
and it's going to happen for me, you know, however it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, so, there's my keynote. There's my keynote address right there. Somebody, bring me to your conference. Let me talk. Put my picture on the pamphlet. You know, put me in conference room B.
I think you'd be a great keynote speaker.
Man, that's I'm gonna put that on one of my vision boards.
Okay.
All right. We are going to take a quick break.
Yes.
Because we got a 4-year-old screaming in the background here. But we'll be back right after these messages. And we're back, man. So summertime blues, man. The kids are home. The kids are are restless. This is what it's like. This is what it's like being a content creator with a full time family.
Heck yeah! Man.
So as to go back to what I was saying, you know, it's a lot easier said than done. The content creation, because it's harder than a motherfucker to get some of this shit done.
Hell yeah!
As you know, I've had to scale back the podcast. Just for editing time, because it's just the three cameras, it takes me more time, mm-hmm. more computer work to edit all three cameras together. So the thing is, do what you can.
Exactly. Right?
That's what I'm saying.
We show up.
So yeah. So excited for you to go. Hopefully enjoy.
Yeah.
Your conference. Are you going into this with a positive mind?
I am.
Okay. Because I know at one point last week you were kind of like, you know, you were looking at it like it was just more work for you to go.
Sure. To go do. Yes, because there was an additional conference that I was going to have to attend as well. So it just felt like.
And you saw it as kind of eating into your personal break. Time, yeah. Your break time. Right. And it's real easy to do that. And that's to say the inspirational part of the podcast, you know, and I have to remind myself too, it really goes back to the way you look at things, mm-hmm. optimism.
Absolutely. Right?
If you get in the habit of looking at stuff as I have to do this, mm-hmm. I have to do that, then you're just feeding negativity into your world, and you're asking yourself to become overwhelmed and overworked and mm-hmm. overburdened. And if you just take the time and say, you know, start looking at stuff as like, this is what I get to do, or this is what I'm doing so that I can achieve whatever it is, the goal it is. And it doesn't matter what that goal is. If it's more money, if it's a better title, if it's some type of accomplishment or accolade, whatever it is you're wanting, that's why it's important to look at things as a means to an end, mm-hmm. rather than an end in it itself.
Yeah. Right? You know? No, I'm definitely looking forward to the opportunity to meet other people.
Right.
You know, who are in the same field I'm in.
It's an exciting time. It's your first conference I mean, obviously you've been to conferences as an educator before,
right.
But this is different. This is your first conference as an administrator, getting to meet and network with other administrators from around the state. And who knows, shit, we might fuck around, find ourselves in a new school district,
woo!
You know, in a couple of years, you know?
You never know.
Know what I'm saying? Speaking of looking at positive things, maybe y'all are going through something similar, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes the new can be a little daunting, right?
Yeah.
A little scary, and mm-hmm. and it's our human nature to kind of pull back from stuff like that. Javi, I've lived by the credo, you know, no new friends. You know what I'm saying? I say it all the time, half jokingly, but also half.
But like for real, for real.
But also like half serious. Right? Right? It's not that I'm against having new friends. I'm really not. I'm not looking for new friends.
Right.
Right. Is the thing. So, but you know, sometimes you got to take the positive, the optimistic. And look at it. So like this week we're doing House of Blues mm-hmm. in Houston,
yes.
June 16th. If you don't got tickets, get them, because they're gonna sell out. House of Blues, 700 seats, man.
That's crazy.
That's cake for my boy Chingo. All right, you know what I'm saying? He usually sells out like six shows at the Houston Improv.
Wow. All right,
he's doing one show this year, and he's doing it at House of Blues. So one shot, we're done. So that means we're putting all our energy into this one show. It's gonna be him, myself, Bryson Brown,
mm-hmm.
just launched his third album.
Wow.
Homie, talk about prolific, right? Talk about inspiration. Surround yourself with people that inspire you.
For real.
Right? Homie put out, since 2020, this is his third album.
Wow. Okay, Bryson.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Mr. Prolific. You know what I'm saying? Me and all the homies, we all prolific, all right? Don't get it twisted, all right? And but we're adding a new face to the show. Is gonna a special guest joining us. I've never met him before. Mr. Eddie Bravo.
Okay.
Right. If you're big into the jiu-jitsu world and Joe Rogan and all that stuff, you've heard him, you know him. He's a fan of Chingo's. He's I think Chingo did a guest spot on one of his shows.
Okay.
And he's coming out to Houston for the purpose of joining us at this show.
Nice.
So I'm excited to work with somebody new.
Yeah.
You know, and get to see him live and work with someone new and meet him and talk to him. You know, it should be.
That's exciting. Yeah.
Right. You know, you're gonna be joining me.
I'm excited because I get to join you. Yes,
this is becoming a thing.
I know, and now, I was
San
someone
Antonio,
asked
Waco, yes, and now Houston.
Earlier this year, someone asked if I go to shows with you, and I was like, "With these kids, heck no, I can't go to shows." And then it seems like the last few times I've been
more
able to come.
Than not. Yeah, as of right now, it looks like you're not gonna be able to join me in Fort Worth, but you never know how the dice end up.
Right,
rolling out, but still,
I get to
three
go to
shows.
This one. Yeah,
I mean, three shows. I think I don't even think you joined me on three shows last year.
No, there's no way.
So now that Lindsay's getting a little older, it's a little easier. So you're gonna join me, of course, the 17th on Saturday. I will be in Sugar Land.
Ooh.
That's gonna be not a solo show, but I'm gonna be headlining that show. So I'm gonna do the whole hour. So you get to hear.
Ooh.
The whole hour. I might do a little bit of stuff from the special just because it has some of the more dad friendly stuff and it's a Father's Day theme show.
Oh, that's
you know,
cute.
So someone asked me, you know, we had a meeting a while back and I'm working on some things to get me out of state as a headliner. That's the next goal.
Right.
But I can do Texas. I can do some Texas markets, but really working on this next year on getting me some markets that I can do outside of Texas as a headliner. So one of the things that I told him is you know, this person that's helping me out is I was like, well, as far as marketing goes, the whole special is available.
Right.
Like any clips from there, we can push that out because it's not going to be on the show.
Right.
Because I have plenty of material. There's more where that came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, but I did say, but on occasion, if it fits, right, because I don't do a what I call a frozen set.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like it's not my set doesn't start with this and then goes to this and this, that and ends here. There's none of that.
Right. It's very fluid.
Right. Usually I open it up with some type of riff anyway. The first 3 to 5 minutes, depending how much time I'm doing, is straight riff. And then followed by another 5 minutes, maybe something I did that day. Then I'll go into material. And then within the material, you know, I'm kind of feeling what the crowd rocks with.
Yeah.
And you know, I have more or less an idea of what I'm going to end with, you know, but it's really whichever fits. I mean, I probably have at any given time about 3 or 4 different closers that I can close with.
Nice.
One thing that I've always believed in writing is every single one of your jokes should be a closer.
This is true.
You know, you should be able to close on any joke that you write.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really just... You know, even if it's a more subtle joke, if you just put a little more energy into it, you can. And if you're the type that likes to close on a high note, which I also don't believe you don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys you don't need to close on a big laugh. If you like to, great. You should be able to do that with any punchline. It's just in the way that you
deliver it,
mm-hmm. Right? So Saturday Father's Day show. It's gonna be myself headlining. Bubba Flores from Victoria is going to be joining me. Funny, funny dude.
David Nunez is going to
be hosting. So that's going to be a fun show too.
Yeah.
And I like that it really kind of, it's going to be the best of both worlds for me, right? Which is doing the big shows with the big stage, with opening for the big headliner, House of Blues, huge venue. I'm excited for the first time. But then it's the more smaller, intimate club shows, which I love doing, right? I've always seen myself as kind of an independent artist kind of thing, like this is what I want to do. So this is where I'm at, you know. I think it's like 60 seats in there, you know. The Fort Worth show is like 80 seats.
Mm-hmm.
I thrive in that type of environment. I love doing big stages. It's great. I would never turn down the opportunity to do big shows like that. But this is where
that I intimate can, vibe is nice though.
Yeah, it's nice. So it's gonna be at the Lounge at 6. The show's at 8:30. Waka waka. We've been through that already. Right. And check it out. I don't think they're doing online ticket sales. This is very like a
oh really?
Yeah, so it's very like show up and pay at the door kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean you can look up the places. I don't even think it's on my link tree because they never sent me a link or anything like that. I started putting out a little promo for it. You know, the club started sharing the clips that I put out, and you know, I made a little commercial for it, and you know, hopefully we get some people to show up. It doesn't matter, 50 people. I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do.
We're still gonna have a good time.
We're gonna have a good time. We're gonna have a great time in Houston, man. I'm excited you're able to join me. You'll be working the merch.
Yes,
so
sir,
if you are
yes,
going
sir.
To the Houston show, make sure you stop by the merch table, pick up some of that Javi Luna and his fucking jokes merch. Oh look.
Hold on.
Like I didn't even plan this. I just noticed it was in the background here. Look at that. Boom.
There you go. There you go.
Can you see it? No, you can't see it.
I can see it. I don't know if anyone else can see it.
Javi Luna, like La Bamba. And I wrote a new segment of my La Bamba. I tried it out at open mic last week. It has enough legs that I'm confident. It'll only be my second time doing it on stage. That's what I do. I'm fucking fearless. I don't give a shit.
I'm excited. Because
even if that joke fucking fails, I got 10 other ones that fucking kill. So, but it did well enough at open mic that I think it's gonna rip at House of Blues. I'm calling my shot like Babe Ruth. I'm pointing to the fucking outfield.
Hell yeah.
In fact, I messaged you and I said, I think once I get it, trimmed up and tightened up, I think I might have one of my next what I like to call my signature bits, the ones that people quote, the ones that people ask for. I see this becoming one of those.
Okay. So,
always exciting for that.
Nice. Yeah.
So now that we've gotten to that, don't forget that we got those two shows. Fort Worth, July 22nd, man, trying to push that, trying to show this club, you know, Javi Luna can sell, move a few tickets in Fort Worth. So if you're not in the Fort Worth area and you can't make it to the show, do me a favor, just mention it to somebody that lives out there. You know, it only $15 tickets, cheap, it's worth a shot, man. What entertainment are you going to go get for $15? Come on out, enjoy. It's going to be a great show. You know that if you're listening to the podcast, you trust me to do that. And yeah, man, that being said, Miss Luna, what you got for me?
Okay. So your article says, my selfish neighbor is demanding I stop barbecuing in my own backyard because it stinks.
Fuck that motherfucker. I know this ain't in Texas.
Definitely not in Texas.
Not in Texas.
No, definitely not.
Stop barbecuing. Well, hold on. I'm going to reserve my statement because maybe you just can't barbecue.
Oh.
But go ahead.
Maybe.
Go ahead.
Okay. So a woman explained, last weekend, my family and I had a barbecue. The following day, a Monday, I saw my next door neighbor. I wouldn't say I know them very well, but always polite and say hi, we smile, etc. The woman went on. This time, however, she looked mightily annoyed and said along the lines, next time you decide to have a stinking barbecue in your backyard, please let me know in advance. My washing was out drying and it got ruined. I had to do the whole load again. Yeah.
Okay. There's variables here.
Okay.
Okay.
True. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Is there more? Okay, go ahead.
It was a standard barbecue. So yes, barbecue smells, but nothing unusual. Uh-huh. I was a bit taken aback by her tone, but replied and said, I'm really sorry. I didn't even think. Next time I'll give you a knock and you can take your washing in. Uh-huh. She replied, No, I won't be taking my washing in. If I have washing out, you won't be able to have a barbecue. And then she stormed off.
Well, first of all, here in these United States, ma'am, I'll barbecue whenever the fuck I want. Guess what we're having for breakfast, kids? Barbecued waffles. Good. Dad, can I have a hot pocket? Sure, let me go fire up the pit real quick, son. don't mind me, Miss Johnson. Kids wanted some cereal. And they like their Cinnamon Toast Crunch extra toasty. Right? Imagine that. Some brisket flavored cereal.
Oh, God.
Yummy. Overnight smoked oats. Yes, sir. 15 hours long and slow. Why not? So what? That was it? Was that the?
Yeah, she just wanted to know, was she being unreasonable?
The was the neighbor being unreasonable,
was the neighbor being unreasonable?
But this was written from the point of view of
yeah, like was she being unreasonable for like, you know, not being courteous enough to go talk to her neighbor to say she's gonna barbecue?
Well. I think any of us would be upset, right? If you were hanging out your laundry.
Sure.
Thinking that you were going to get that fresh air dried smell, you know, which who does that anymore? But maybe if you have like a blanket or a comfort or whatever, but even most modern dryers are big enough now to wash any of your big stuff now. That used to be the only thing that you would dry. I don't remember the last time we line dried anything. But
some people do.
That would be upsetting, right? Yeah. If you thought your stuff was out there drying and it was going to be fresh, and you came and it smelled like barbecue, which if you've ever barbecued, you know that you ain't getting that smell out.
No,
you know, you almost damn near, especially if you're in the smoke, you gotta wash that completely separate because it does it permeates everything. So if it actually did the smoke the way it was blowing, if it did. You know, if it was, you know, bellowing.
Watch out. Bellowing.
Watch out. Still studying for the SATs, homie. You know what I'm saying? Don't need to get all malignant and shit. If the smoke was flowing into the person's backyard, I could see them being upset.
Yeah.
But to go as far as to say... if I have my laundry out, you can't barbecue. Well, no. The solution is, you're right. Like I'll let you know next time, or I'll try to be more cautious of you know which way the smoke is going. If there's any way you can, you don't really have any control over that. It's just dependent on where it is. But definitely, if you notice it is blowing into your neighbor's yard, you know, be a little responsible. Maybe position your pit somewhere else.
Right.
So that it's not right there, you know.
Yeah.
Flowing into their yard, you know. There's things you could do. So I think I'm gonna apply Judge Judy here. I think y'all just need to communicate better, and she needs to understand that, you know, especially it's summertime. You know, people are gonna be barbecuing more, and maybe reconsider when you
hang out your laundry.
When you hang out your laundry.
Yeah.
You know. Or fucking put it in a dryer like a fucking normal person. What the? What are you, fucking Captain Planet? Who the fuck hangs? No, seriously, who the fuck hangs out that laundry anymore?
Some people do. What's the
benefit
know.
Of it? Is it any softer? Does it kill more germs with the sunlight? if you hang out your laundry still, let me know. You know.
Yeah.
And you know, a little mosquito smoke never hurts.
A little mosquito.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'm glad. I don't think any of our neighbors complain
no.
about our barbecue smells. So.
And we were barbecuing a lot for a while.
For a minute, but now my pit's dead. And so I'm waiting to. My next one, I'm ready. I was ready to upgrade anyway.
Yes, you
are. So I'm holding off on the upgrade because I need y'all to buy some more tickets. Buy some tickets to the Fort Worth show, and then I'll get myself a fucking new pit. How about that?
All right, I like
guys.
That.
All right, guys, we're gonna get out of here, man. Another great episode. We'll have plenty to talk about with the road trip in Houston and Sugar Land, and of course Father's Day.
Yeah.
That whole experience next week on for our sesquicentennial. Ooh. Look it up, homie. Episode. Until then, man, we'll see y'all next week. One love.